He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday or the Friday morning. It is May the 7th. It is the live edition of the Best Stocks Now radio show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, the most important quote of the day, Dogecoin up a penny today. It's up 2.3%, up 60. It's at 61 cents in advance of the Doge father, Elon Musk, appearing on SNL tomorrow. So if ever there was a reason to buy an asset class or an ETF or a mutual fund or stock, what better reason could you have than that? The Dow is actually up 110 points right now. That's a new all-time high. Let me repeat that again. That's a new all-time high for the Dow Jones Industrial Average. 34,657. I've never said that before on this show in my 24 years on the radio. I've never said this either. The S&P is up 24 points to, let's see, what's that number on the S&P now? 4225, I think. S&P, 4226, okay. New all-time high on the S&P 500. And the NASDAQ not hitting a new all-time high, but it is up 1%. It's up 139 points to 13,772. You say, what is going on? We had a horrible jobs report. Well, that moved interest rates down, and that NASDAQ is keenly focused on those interest rates right now. The small cap index up 0.7% here this morning so far. Crude oil's up 26, closing in on 65, 64.97. Gold's up $22. Big move in gold recently, last few days. It's at 18.37. And you got that 10-year, there's the key, down. It's at 1.54, while Bitcoin is down $383 per coin. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. On this Friday, May the 7th, the newsletter will go out a little bit later today. I've just got a few finishing touches and details to add here. And we'll give you the broad picture of the market in my market outlook. Yes, I'm not a perma bull and I'm not a perma bear. I go with what the market and the economy and earnings, more important than anything else, are earnings. And we'll have a new update for you on a target price for the S&P 500 based on earnings. Made a lot of changes. Made some new buys this week in the portfolios. The makeover is almost complete from February. Now watch, we'll go right back to the growth stocks. Oh, I don't think so. You can see the portfolios and how they've done over time. And I'll have my technical analysis of all the major asset classes out there right now. And a whole lot more. All the stories that I thought were very important this past week. You can get a copy of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. There's very few money managers out there that not only called the bottom in the market last March, 4 days. I was 4 days from the bottom, but also called the massive rotation out of tech or out of growth and into value back in late February. Well, where do we go from here? Well, let's see. Okay, yesterday was, you know, it was an okay day. We really took off there later in the day. You know why that was? The market was anticipating a jobs report today that would crush it. I saw some people out there saying it's going to be north of 1 million new jobs created. Well, you know what you would think? With all of the demand coming back, people getting out of their houses, people going back to work, people going back to restaurants, people going back to the theaters, and on and on and on, well, you would think that the jobs report would have been a blowout, but for some reason it was not. And even though the Dow was up 315 points, yesterday. And even the NASDAQ rallied at the end of the day to close up 50 points. That anticipation of that big jobs report did not come to pass. In fact, the jobs report was a shock to the downside. Instead of the 1 million estimate, we got 261,000 jobs, new jobs. Well, you know what? I heard one analyst or one money manager out there say that he's been in the business for longer than I have, and that's the worst, biggest whiff he's ever seen on a jobs report. I'd have to think about that. I've seen some bad misses, but this is a big one, and it makes me think, like others do, that there may be something buried there that may be a one-off, and maybe this will be revised upwards. I don't know, but I continue to say that there's too many restrictions and constraints for people to come back to work. I think that's got to be cleared up. I think the demand is clearly there. I can't even believe it. I can't even believe the action and activity at the restaurants and the hotels and the leisure activities and tourism and everything. I live in a tourist town. Charleston's one of the great cities of the world. If you've never been here, it just drips with history and with charm and with carriages, you know, going wafting through the streets and gas lamps. I feel like I'm in downtown Disneyland. I really do. I go down there often. Just take a ride. I just like to take a ride through downtown Disneyland in the evenings and just see the magic. And the people, I have never seen Charleston so crowded as it is right now. And then we've got a big golf tournament, PGA golf tournament coming here. I don't know if there's going to be room for me here. It's getting pretty crazy. But anyways, that has created a lot of demand. You know, there's a shortage of labor, obviously. I think it's going to put upwards pressure on labor prices. And again, you know, I think those barriers have to come down. I think that the unemployment needs to be, how about a taper tantrum there maybe? Well, you know, why then is the market up? You would think that on that bad news, the market would be down. But however, the NASDAQ in particular is keenly focused on interest rates. Interest rates, that's right. What really, if you look back, what was the trigger on that NASDAQ, that big rise in the NASDAQ? Well, it was obviously interest rates. It was that big spike in interest rates. You can see almost the direct correlation. Because a spike in interest rates makes multiples in the market. P.E. ratios contract. Forward P.E. ratios contract. Price-to-sales ratios contract. And who would be the most vulnerable stocks to that multiple contraction? It's going to be the highest P.E. and the highest price-to-sales and the highest forward P.E. stocks. That just is logic. And the ones that are going to come through it the best will be the lowest PE, the lowest prices. Well, now we got interest rates back down today after this jobs report, because now the thinking is, well, you know, Janet Yellen, you talked about a interest rate hike on Tuesday, and you sent shockwaves through the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ got clobbered for 300 points. And then you walked it back the next day, and the NASDAQ recovered. So it's pretty obvious what the NASDAQ is focused on. If you think interest rates are headed back down from here, then you should be buying those high P.E. stocks and high price-to-sales stocks once again. Conversely, if you think interest rates are going to at least stay where they are now and probably start trickling back up again, well, then you should be step very carefully and think it over before you get back into those high P.E., high price-to-sale stocks, because they remain very, very vulnerable. Copper explodes to all-time record high. Industrial players are in panic mode. Well, it's nice to own some copper stocks over here at the firm. I haven't owned copper stocks in a long, long time, probably for 15 years, something like that. But this is an inflationary environment we're in. I think the jobs report is further fuel, gasoline on the fire, that you're going to probably see wages go up here as labor is tight It's the old supply-demand equation. Tight labor means probably higher labor prices being passed on to the consumer, and that is all inflationary. So, well, we got a lot to talk about here today, but the big news today obviously was the monthly non-farm payrolls report, which was expected to come in at 1 million. Instead, it came in at 266,000, a major, major whiff and miss there. Okay, there's the music. I thought it was coming. This is Bill Gunderson on this beautiful Friday, May the 7th. We'll be right back. Second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. I don't really have a good feel here yet for what is really moving in the market today. I do see Roku up 14%. Well, there's your choice. You know, if you think interest rates are going lower, then you want to go back into high price to sales, high price to earning stocks like Roku. I see Funko is up. It's up 13%. I see Tilray, a cannabis stock. Not seeing any quality yet. Twist Biosciences is up 9%. There's that dry bulk. The Baltic Dry Index ETF is up 8.9%. One of its components, Diana Shipping, is up. It's Greek, of course, is up 8.6%. Castor Maritime, another shipper, up 7%. Square having a pretty good day, up 5.8%. So, you know, there's not a whole lot that really jumps off the page at me yet, but I will be taking a deeper dive during the day. I send out a lot of tweets to the public during the day when it's, you know, when it's general observations of the market. And you can follow me on Stock Twits, which also feeds into Twitter. I haven't been banned yet, at Bill Gunderson for my, or at the end of the day, you can just look and say, hey, what did Bill have to say today? You can also find those tweets, both live and, you know, archived there on my app, Best Stocks Now. And in addition to this, we were pretty busy buying and selling, actually, yesterday. I had a flurry there in the last couple of hours. And, of course, those go out to my live trading subscribers, which you can look into on my website at GundersonCapital.com. But, of course, my main gig is managing money for folks who don't want to sit and watch the market all day like I do. They've got other things to do, like, you know, performing heart surgery on people or pulling wisdom teeth or correcting someone's back or, you know, managing a bunch of workers. Whatever you do for a living, you know, it's time-consuming. It's very time-consuming. My job is very time-consuming, but I enjoy what I do. And that's why, you know, I hire people to do those things that, you know, allow me to do what I do here. And that's what I do for a living. I manage money. I've developed these portfolios. They're pretty transparent. You can see them every week. It's not like you don't know what's going on with your portfolio. You can listen to me every day. I'm in your living room or in your car sitting next to you every day, Monday through Friday at this time. I write a quite in-depth newsletter that I send out every week, come rain or shine. That way what I'm saying about the market. And if you can't listen to the show during the morning, I archive every show. I have several of my favorite podcasters, and, you know, I try to listen to them, especially around bedtime, you know, I listen to my favorite ones, usually on a pretty regular basis. So, you know, everything's pretty open. We're going to have a lot of announcements here soon. We're planning right now. We're putting together a Sarasota trip where we now have an office in Lakewood Ranch. I'll be getting together with the people that run that office. I know they've been listening to the show, getting, you know, clued in on the Gunderson methodology. I know they've been reading the newsletter. They're good people, and I can't wait to work with them. And then we'll start on another market and just keep expanding this money marketing business that we have started here. All right, well, let's take a look. What else do we got to talk about? We got a lot to talk about today. We got that jobs report out of the way. We got copper exploding to new highs. Well, you know, who are the copper stocks? Well, there's an ETF, Basic Materials, IYM would be the call letters there. There's an actual ETF copper, CPER. And then, of course, there's all your usual suspects in that copper industry, Rio, Freeport-McMoRan, BHP, Vail. Vail had a magnificent day yesterday. Tech Resources, Southern Copper, SCCO. Those are pretty much your big copper individual stocks. And then there's another ETF, JJC, which tends to focus on copper. And it is probably the hottest metal out there right now. Copper prices on the London Metal Exchange rose as much as 2.9% to record $10,386 per metric ton, bursting through the previous record high of $10,190 set in 2011. You know, I'm thinking maybe it was 2011. There was a year where I was just all over the commodity stocks. I can remember having a huge position in U.S. steel and chemical stocks and cement stocks and metal stocks and all kinds of stuff. Maybe that was 2011. It was really a boom in China. Everywhere you looked, supposedly, there were cranes building, and they were sucking all of those commodities over there. Maybe that was the year. But anyways, copper is back to the same price it was during that massive boom. Speaking of China, Biden is said to be likely to keep Trump's China investment ban, okay, which keeps limits on U.S. investments in some Chinese companies that were imposed by the Trump administration. You know, I'm thinking China Mobile was one, China Telecom was another one, China Unicom, which are all kind of related and have a, you know, to their defense, their military. And I continue to watch those Chinese stocks. They just don't look very good. And I'm talking about Tencent Holdings. I'm talking about Alibaba. I'm talking about JD.com, etc. Just not very good looking, the Chinese stocks. And, you know, if it's not enough that we're being tough on them, they're being tough on them. Their own leaders of the Communist Chinese Party continue to crack down on so-called monopolies. Well, yesterday, once again, it was all about the financial stocks. Man, I'll tell you what, those financials. Now, they're going to trade off today because interest rates are down. The best, you know, I would say the two groups that are most sensitive to any change in interest rates, all right? Number one, when interest rates go up, it's the financials and the banks. They are keenly interested in watching with a laser focus on interest rates. And conversely, the tech sector, the high PE, the high growth, the high price to sales, it is really laser focused, because it's so leveraged and so expensive on interest rates. So today you're going to have tech up and financials down, but they have been leaders recently, big leaders. And, of course, there's several ETFs that are financial-focused. XLF comes to mind. What else comes to mind? Well, we'll check it out and report back when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. And welcome back here to the second half of Best Stocks Now. Dow up 160. That's good news. The S&P 500 right now up 32. That's 0.75%. And the NASDAQ right now up 180, 1.3. That's the good news. The bad news is I've taken a pretty good dive underneath the surface of the indexes. I'm not seeing a whole lot that impresses me at all. You know, I read I read a local guy's fishing report every day. He's a guide here on the in the Charleston area, and he posts on Facebook all the time. And he was extolling how great the fishing was at the secret spot, he calls, which is basically the channel marker, the jetties, the rock jetties that, you know, mark the entrance to the Charleston Harbor. You got a north jetty and you got a south jetty. And there's some pretty good fishing to be had if you just anchor off that jetty and cast into the rocks with live shrimp or mud mullets or mud minnows or whatever. So I took a little ride out there to see what this great fishing was all about, because on the surface it sounded great. And I got there and I just kind of slowly went around, moseyed around, look at what they were. They were catching like 9-inch, these little black bass that we just have everywhere here in Charleston, little 9-inch fish. Well, the Dow's up 150, and on the surface that looks fantastic. I see a bunch of little 9-inch fish being packed here today. I haven't seen one quality other than Charter. Charter's the first one. And we own Charter Communications, CHTR. That's a nice move on Charter today. But everything else is crappy little black bass that you would throw back. So I'm not trying to burst your bubble, but that's what I'm seeing in the market so far today. And I've looked at a pretty good sampling of stocks. Mortgage rates remain under 3% for the third consecutive week. Okay, well, that continues to be good news. There's a problem. You know, you can get a loan, but you can't get a home. There's no inventory out there. Here's the loan. Okay, you're approved. Now go. Good luck finding a home. Iron ore prices power to new record as China demand surges. Yeah, I think it was 2011. I should go back and look at some of my newsletters from back then. Yes, I've been writing newsletters for many, many years, over two decades. I think 2011 might have been that big year for commodities. I remember 2013 was all about biotechs. Oh, my gosh, the biotech sector. We cleaned up in the – that's why you got to be unconstrained. You can go where you want to go, do what you want to do. Iron ore prices powered to new record. And, yes, I do own some iron ore stocks. It's China. It's China. You know, China has a lot to do with corn prices, which hit a new high yesterday. Soybean prices hit a new high. The fertilizer stocks are hitting new highs. And now you've got iron ore, copper. So anyway, some of the ticker symbols there would be BHP again, which is a big conglomerate. Rio, R-I-O, Vale again, Alcoa, Arconic, different companies there. And let's see, is there an iron ore? Well, the closest thing you're going to come to an iron ore ETF would be SLX. That's the steel ETF. Well, there's another metal moving all of a sudden. Gold retakes $1,800 for its highest settlement since February. I got to be honest. I don't know that I've ever made money in a gold stock. Maybe that 2011, we had a run in gold that was incredible. And I know I made some money during that period of time. That was maybe 10 years ago. So let's just say in the last 10 years, I don't think I've made any money buying gold stocks. But they did retake. Gold retook 1,800. I always look at Newmont Mining every single day. It's a good proxy. I look at Barrick Gold every single day. Those are the two big proxies, along with several other smaller ones. And I look at the actual commodities themselves every day, gold, silver, a lot of ETFs there. Trucking demand soars. I think a Grateful Dead, trucking. We need a little bed of music here, trucking right about now. Trucking demand soars in the latest read from Bank of America. Well, I've been watching those trucking stocks. C.H. Robinson, Expeditors International. FedEx is not a trucker. They're a trucker in the sky, and they've been doing pretty good. J.B. Hunt, Knight Swift, all those trucks. Look, you headed to work right now. You got a big 16-wheeler, or how many ever wheels they got? So many I can't count. Cutting you off right now, or kicking up dust, cracking your windshield. Read the side. You're either going to see Old Dominion Freight, or Werner, or Schneider, or Heartland Express, or Knight Swift Transportation. You know how you get even for that cracked windshield? Buy the stocks of that cracked windshield. That's a hot, you know, the whole transportation sector. Don't forget the transportation sector includes air freight. It includes the ground trucking stocks. And it includes the red hot transportation hyphen shipping subsector, shipping. And once again, I'm seeing that BDRY. Okay, now you don't have to buy the shipping index, which is pretty volatile. A good, big, wide transportation index ETF like IYT includes all these stocks like Diana Shipping and on up to, you know, FedEx and UPS, some of the more well-known names. I think Amazon should be a shipping stock. I see more Amazon trucks on the road and in my neighborhood than anything else. Goldman Sachs leads financing round for cryptocurrency data firm Coinmetrics. Oh, boy. I can hardly wait. Where can I get a hold of some of that? I guess this might be some kind of another, maybe it's another kind of like Coinbase. I don't know. Let's see. It's a provider of crypto asset financial data. What kind of financial data do you have on crypto assets? Do you have price to sales ratios? Price to cash flow, I don't know. Intrinsic value, I just don't know. But they provide financial data on the crypto space in general. That will be a big IPO here at some point in time. Well, we have a stock being bought out, At Home. At Home is going to move. At Home is going to move to the private space. We did all right with At Home. It's $37.23 today. We made some money in that. I bought it in my ultra growth portfolio. It was a 4% position. Now it maybe is a 5% position with this big jump in price. What do I do when a stock is bought out? Well, you know, we'll wait a few days. Hey, maybe a competitive bid comes along. I doubt it, but maybe so. It is pretty much trading at the buyout price here from what I can figure out. But then again, you know, they bought it out for $2.8 million and its market cap of $2.4 or billion right now. So we'll see how it goes. It could be just dead money here, but hey, we picked a winner there at Home. And I'm sure I featured it here as my featured stock of the day. That's my, you might want to listen to the final segment of the show and see what my featured stock of the day is today. Kathy Woods has had a tough week. She's gaining a little bit back this week, but she's down 12% for the week. That's tough. That's volatility. If you've got that kind of stomach in this kind of market, you know what? More power to you. God bless you. I don't have that kind of stomach in this market. Kathy Wood's flagship fund, ARK Innovation, is struggling this week, down nearly 12% on the week and closing in the red every single day this week. Well, maybe today will be the day it will be up. But she continues to buy. She purchased over 3 million shares of Skills and over 1.5 million shares of Palantir Technologies. And one of her big positions is Roku. Roku is rallying today, but Roku has been clobbered. And it's starting to give up those early gains. That's a terrible chart on Roku. Roku's gone from 486 down to 320. That's a 33% drop, 30% drop right in there. It's bouncing off its 200-day moving average. And I just think that in this market right now where interest rates are so vulnerable to be moving back up here again, Roku with its price-to-sales ratio of 21 and its forward P.E. ratio of 489, it might have been good in a different kind of market like we had the last couple of years, which was go, go, go. Well, now people are looking at valuations. And it's very hard for me. It would be very difficult for me. Roku is in a number four downtrend. Anyways, we'll be back with our featured stock of the day. This is Bill Gunderson. Welcome back here. Boy, the final segment of the week. What a week this has been. Wow. Oh, boy. I think I had it coming at me from every single angle this week, but we got through it. We're still alive. We're staying alive. We're a lot of, you know, it takes a lot. There's a lot of transition taking place when you join and merge with another firm. And as soon as the dust settles, I'm ready to go to Sarasota. I want to teach a workshop. I want to see my friends, my clients down there in Sarasota, try out some of the new restaurants that have come along since I was there last time. There's always some good eating, especially in the seafood area. I got a sister that lives there in Palmetto and her husband. I love to visit them. Now, one of the choices, but this, you know, I look at the surface of this market. It looks pretty good, but underneath this does not look good. Why would I run all the way out there to the jetties? That's about a 15-mile trip. Well, you get about 2 miles to the gallon, maybe if you're lucky, 2.5 miles to the gallon in gasoline, which isn't cheap here on the harbor. You know, you got to get that stuff without that stupid ethanol in it. And, you know, I go deep hole shrimping. We've got some deep holes around here, and the shrimp are moving into those holes. I'm not talking little shrimp. I'm talking about big jumbo shrimp you can throw on the Barbie. Why would I work so hard throwing my cast net and getting those jumbo, get a dozen jumbo shrimp in the ice chest there or in the life well? Why do I want to trade in one of those for a little 9-inch bass at the jetties? I'm bringing those shrimp home and eating them. The heck with it. That's the way I see the market right now. You know, it's looks good on the surface. I just took a pretty good deep dive underneath. I haven't seen a whole lot yet that excites me. So, but it's real easy to come up with my featured stock of the day. How about let's do the number 30, the top 30. This one's dedicated to my wife, Freeport-McMoRan, FCX. Now, that's a great chart. There's the standout chart of the day. Yesterday, it was Vail. Well, we own Freeport-McMoRan. It's one of our largest holdings here at Gunderson Capital Management. Now, it doesn't really fit the price to sales at 3.8, but here's where it really wins out in spades. It's got a forward P.E. ratio of 12.8. 12.8. It's got a 5-year growth rate estimated to be 18% per year over the next 5 years. PEG ratio, 0.71. That PEG ratio is less than 1, which gives it a 5-year target price of $84 per share. And it's currently trading today with this breakout to new highs. I think that's all-time high for Freeport-McMoRan. It's $43.28. There is a little dividend involved, 0.7%. And, of course, Freeport-McMoRan is headquartered in one of the copper capitals of the world. I bet you didn't know that. That's right, Arizona. I had a buddy that grew up in Safford, Arizona. And his grandpappy or maybe his dad, maybe it was his dad, left him some mining land, and they discovered a huge, huge copper, copper deposit on that land. He was a good old boy. He's not around anymore. We used to go fishing together, but he did all right. You know, I think maybe he sold it to Freeport-McMoRan. I don't know, but obviously Freeport-McMoRan has interest all over the world, in Indonesia, North America, South America, but Arizona is copper country, as is, you know, Montana's copper country. I think maybe Wyoming up in there. So anyways, that's about it. Freeport-McMoRan will make that my featured stock of the day. It's number 30 rank overall, and it is a very large position here at Gunderson Capital Management. All right, well, the newsletter will be sending it out today, sometime a little bit later today. I've still got a few finishing touches. I did a lot of trades yesterday that I got to update in our model portfolios. I put in the date we bought them, the exact price that we got, when we bought it. You can follow along there. We have a premier growth portfolio, which is large cap, you know, conservative growth. But it can also be value. It can also be all cash if I want it to be. It can also be in some inverse funds if I want it to be. It doesn't. I'm not locked into any one sector. I can go wherever I want to go with those premier growth portfolios. They're a little more stable. Then you drop down a notch, ultra growth. You know, this was more in that small mid-cap arena. Boy, that thing has done really well over the last 2.5 years. You can check it out for yourself. I give out 2 free weeks of my newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. And then you drop, well, no, I have the dividend. Actually, at the top of the safe, well, the least, generally speaking, the least volatile is the dividend and growth portfolio. Dividends help to steady out a stock just a little bit, because as a stock goes down, the dividend yield goes up and makes it attractive to buyers. The dividend stocks is a great place to be this year. Our dividend and growth portfolios are doing really, really well. And then, of course, I have my emerging growth portfolio, which is, you know, stocks out there, not space exploration. I don't go that far out. I'm not light years away when there will be earnings for those stocks. But I'm in the, you know, the smaller companies out there on, you know, big explosive growth type potential. Of course, we have our bond portfolio, steady as she goes. I find that bonds are one of the better, you know, alternative investments to stocks. You invest in it. You're promised your principal back after a certain amount of time, and along the way, they're going to pay you an interest rate while, you know, a coupon rate while they, you know, use your money for their business. And that's the way it works. So we've got a little bit of, you can mix match. That's where the guys that, my guys, my advisors talk to you, try to assess what's best for you, your situation. So if you'd like to make an appointment, phone or Zoom right now, you can reach us at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. This is Bill Gunderson. Have a great day. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.